Welcome to In Tune with the Opera Company of Philadelphia, the place to learn everything you need to know about upcoming Opera Company of Philadelphia productions. I'm Mike Bolton, Director of Community Programs for the Opera Company. And last year, the Opera Company garnered remarkable acclaim from such newspapers as the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and more for its production of the U.S. premiere of Hans Werner Henze's Phaedra. The New York Times said, "The Opera Company of Philadelphia has scored a substantial artistic coup with the American premiere of Phaedra." The Associated Press said, "The company's music director, Corrado Rovaris, conducted the orchestra with seeming mastery over the details of this difficult score." And the Philadelphia Inquirer said, "Phaedra seems to come from a force and range of expression that can't be fettered by anything traditional. Just fasten your seatbelt and take the ride." Well, this spring, we return to the fascinating world of Henze in March 2012 for a production of Henze's rarely seen Elegy for Young Lovers. It's a 1961 masterpiece to a stunningly poetic text, originally written in English by W.H. Auden and Chester Coleman. And, of course, these performances will be in the original concept, in the originally conceived English. For this podcast, we're joined by a young Henze enthusiast, Dan Cooperman, who will walk us through what to listen for in the score, the genesis of the opera. Of course, we'll have a plot synopsis and more for this most fascinating of theater pieces as well. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with all of this and more on this edition of In Tune with the Opera Company of Philadelphia.
What happens when a ruthless poet looks to an unlikely cast of characters to provide his artistic inspiration in Hans Werner Henze's Elegy for Young Lovers, the season's opening production in our Aurora series, Chamber Opera at the Perlman Theater? Henze brings us this powerful opera, hailed as compelling by the British newspaper The Guardian. These performances mark the Philadelphia premiere of the work, which has not been performed in the U.S. for nearly 20 years. Henze's Elegy for Young Lovers, March 14th through the 18th for three performances only, part of the Aurora series Chamber Opera at the Perlman Theater, sponsored by the Wincote Foundation. Order your tickets today, online at operaphila.org or by calling 215-732-8400.
You're listening to In Tune with the Opera Company of Philadelphia, and I'm your host, Mike Bolton. Henze's Elegy for Young Lovers is a true piece of musical theater, with every poetic word by librettists Auden and Coleman perfectly and inevitably linked to Henze's searing musical setting. One of the great things about experiencing the opera at the Perelman Theater at the Kimmel Center for the Performing Arts is that in a 600-seat house, all attendees are intimate witnesses to the action being played on the stage before us. But before we can become witnesses to this opera, which many of us may be unfamiliar with, here's Dan Cooperman to talk about the genesis of Elegy for Young Lovers.
"In these new songs, he strikes a note of passionate delight," one critic wrote. Others praised the work as flawless, authentic, and grand. Still another called it the peak of his achievement. As much as we'd like these kind words to describe Hans Werner Henze's opera Elegy for Young Lovers, they actually praise the famous poet Gregor Mittenhofer. If you haven't heard of him, there's no need to worry. He's the fictional creation of librettists W.H. Auden and Chester Coleman, and he's the central figure of Hans Werner Henze's opera. In Elegy for Young Lovers, Gregor Mittenhofer retreats to an inn in the Austrian Alps, where he hopes to find inspiration for a new poem. When his mistress leaves him for a younger man, he sends the young lovers to their fatal end so that he may write a masterwork elegy in their memory. Not to draw any parallels between the murderous poet and the composer of our opera, Henze was a pacifist after all. Elegy for Young Lovers was regarded by many at its premiere in 1961 as the peak of Henze's achievement. Unfortunately, for one reason or another, The story of the opera's reception was not as positive as perhaps it should have been. We'll follow the history of Henze's Elegy for Young Lovers, from its collaborative beginnings with librettists W.H. Auden and Chester Coleman, to a series of calamitous premieres in Germany and England, and right on up to the production you'll be seeing this March. The makings of Elegy for Young Lovers begins on the Italian island of Ischia, where in 1953 Hans Werner Henze first met the American poets W.H. Auden and Chester Coleman. The immediate friendship between these three intellectuals had a lot to do with their mutual love for opera. In 1951, Auden and Coleman achieved fame among the music community by collaborating with Igor Stravinsky on the highly acclaimed opera The Rake's Progress. As a result, Henze was drawn to the young pair, and particularly Auden. He read all his works and used to sit with the poet in a local cafe on Ischia, listening to him philosophize about opera in his strong Oxford English accent and sometimes impenetrable vocabulary. It wasn't until 5 years later, however, in December of 1958, that Henze first approached Auden and Coleman with the idea of collaborating on a new opera. The poets were delighted by the idea. They immediately proposed a libretto based on a reincarnation of the Daphnis Chloe story from Greek mythology, only now set in an Italian town circa 1910. They described the scenario as, quote, a straight romantic love story with a buffo or comedic background. However, when Henze visited the poets the following summer to get the project underway, he made it clear that he wanted something drastically different. I told them I would like the work to be a psychological drama, a chamber drama that would deal in the most general terms with questions of guilt and atonement. In other words, with subtle and complex issues, and not with the all too pastoral and affected bucolicisms with which they had tried to fob me off. Auden and Coleman quickly agreed to the composer's artistic vision, and the three men commenced a collaborative process that Henze describes in his memoirs as ping pong for three. After a full day bouncing around ideas, words, and phrases, they began a playful competition of trying to outwit each other with the best lines and rhymes, all the while drinking stiff martinis and eating the disastrous meals that the amateur chef Coleman so lovingly tried to prepare. By the end of the week, Auden and Coleman had drafted an outline. By the end of that summer, in 1959, Henze received the completed libretto at his new home in Naples. The premiere of Elegy for Young Lovers was set for the 20th of May, 1961, at the Schwetzingen Music Festival with the Bavarian State Opera. Henze had just over a year and a half to bring his chamber opera from the composing table to the stage. Whereas the collaboration with Auden and Coleman was rather uneventful, the following months were riddled by one complication after another. First, Henze was unable to concentrate in his study in Naples because of soaring temperatures in the city and roaring construction outside his window. Only halfway through composing Act One, he packed up and moved himself to Berlin. Second, Henze's publisher, Ludwig Strecker, vehemently disapproved of Auden and Coleman's libretto. As a result, the program director of the Schwetzingen Festival and the intendant of the Bavarian State Opera were uncomfortable proceeding with the opera's preparation. Afraid that this matter would derail the project, Henze defended Elegy's artistic value, demanded that production continue, and assured these men that they would receive a swift apology from his publisher. Third, Henze was racing against the clock. As it was, a year and a half was scarcely enough time to compose and produce an entire opera. For the premiere at Schwetzingen, however, Henze was faced with the added complication of having to translate the entire libretto from the original English to German. In what he describes as Hundearbeit, or dog work, to be absolutely literal, he often spent painstaking hours on a single sentence, exchanging words and tweaking order such to preserve the original meaning and style. As he finished each section, he sent it piecemeal to the Bavarian State Opera, where the cast of the premiere was also pressed for time. Unfortunately, the complications related to translation carried over into the Schwetzingen premiere, the first of several non-ideal premieres for the Elegy. The set designer for the Bavarian State Opera mistranslated the stage directions upstage and downstage, and consequently built an inverted set. Everything that was supposed to happen front and center was now pushed to the back, where the singers could not be seen or heard. On top of this, the designer also insisted that the first two acts be performed without intermission, forcing the audience to sit uncomfortably for over 2 hours. Henze called it a wretched first night. 3 weeks later was the British premiere of Elegy for Young Lovers at the Glyndebourne Festival Opera, thankfully now in the work's original language. However, disputes between the production team, as well as animosity between the director on one side and Auden and Coleman on the other, meant that rehearsals were not running smoothly. All the same, the conservative opening night audience found Henze's modern opera entirely distasteful. A cartoon review in the Evening News depicted two women in gowns leaving the performance, wondering who had composed the evening's music. "Mozart, of course," says the one. "It's always Mozart here." And the other retorts, "Then he must have been very young, before he learned to write those pretty tunes." The original Schwetzingen production now returned to Munich for the city's summer opera festival, with Henze conducting. However, Henze's nerves from the previous premieres got the better of him, and only days away from the Munich performance, he found himself violently ill in a hospital bed with appendicitis. Nevertheless, the morning of the show, Henze checked himself out of the hospital against doctor's orders, conducted a 2.5-hour-long rehearsal, and that evening, assumed the podium in a state of heavy sedation. Needless to say, he gave one too many false entries, causing Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau, who was singing the lead role, to forget his lines. As Henze remembers the evening in his autobiography, quote, "It was like a dream in which your legs give way beneath you, and you cannot escape from your approaching pursuers." To add insult to injury, Henze's close friend, the Italian composer Luigi Nono, walked out during the first act. In spite of all these calamities, Elegy for Young Lovers was Henze's most successful opera to date. Critics praised the score's refined color and expressivity. They applauded the composer's use of instruments and voices to exact dramatic effects. And they signed off on Henze's music as an ideal representation of 20th century aesthetics. So in 1962, when Henze designed, directed, and conducted a new production of Elegy for Young Lovers in Copenhagen without any artistic glitches, the production was so successful that it received its Berlin premiere as a respected addition to the Berlin Opera Festival. The overwhelmingly positive reception was critical for Henze's career in Berlin, as well as worldwide. Over the next decade, the production traveled on to Brussels, Helsinki, Tokyo, Amsterdam, and Mexico City, often with the composer himself conducting. Henze's fondness for the work as a whole brought him back to the opera in the late 1980s, when he revised the orchestration for a new production at La Fenice in Venice. The Juilliard School presented the American premiere of Elegy in New York City in 1965. Now, in 2012, it seems only fitting that Philadelphia's own Curtis Institute of Music, in collaboration with the Opera Company of Philadelphia, present you with a new production of the revised Elegy for Young Lovers. Please join us on March 14th, 16th, and 18th to meet the murderous poet Gregor Mittenhofer and the full cast of Curtis singers in a production that is sure to reach the peak of our achievement.
That was Dan Cooperman, a Philadelphia area Henze enthusiast, with information on the creation of Henze's Elegy for Young Lovers. Coming up next, we'll have a plot synopsis and then a look at Henze's musical styling for this opera when In Tune with the Opera Company of Philadelphia returns after this message.
The Opera Company of Philadelphia is proud to present its 2011-2012 Aurora series for chamber opera at the Perelman Theater, which embraces a spirit of innovation and creativity. In March, the Opera Company presents its fourth Curtis Opera Theater production in association with Kimmel Center Presents, Hans Werner Henze's Elegy for Young Lovers. Set in the Austrian Alps, Elegy follows a ruthless poet who manipulates the people surrounding him to create inspiration for his art, despite the deadly consequences. In June 2012, the opera company presents Dark Sisters by composer Nico Muli and librettist Stephen Karam. The opera follows one woman's dangerous attempt to escape her life as a member of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a sect that split from mainstream Mormonism in the early 20th century. Get your tickets to this must-see operatic event. Come and see some of the most innovative opera in one of the most intimate settings, the Perelman Theater.
The Opera Company of Philadelphia offers all sorts of ways to learn about its season and productions. Do you like free preview recitals? Then come to A Taste of Opera at Moore College of Art and Design. Like informative pre-curtain talks? Then check out Opera Overtures, held 1 hour before each opera. Love opera? Then help us celebrate National Opera Week from October 28th through November 6th. Here's what people are saying about the Opera Company of Philadelphia's free outreach program.
Opera overtures are an enormous help in appreciating the overall productions. I've enjoyed every one I've been to.
Absolutely illuminating, fun, interesting backstories that are wonderful.
It's enjoyable and it's always educational and very fun.
And I love Taste of Opera. It gives me my fix and my high for the whole week and it keeps me glowing. I recommend it to everybody, and if you have never gone to an opera before, this is a great introduction.
What are you waiting for? Come join us and bring a friend. Find out more about Opera Company of Philadelphia's educational and outreach events online at operaphila.org/community.
Hi, I'm Mike Bolton. I'm your host, and you're listening to In Tune with the Opera Company of Philadelphia. Hans Werner Henze is a mainstay of opera all throughout Europe. His operas appear every once in a while on U.S. stages. In fact, Elegy for Young Lovers has not been performed in the United States in nearly 20 years. The opera, in brief, deals with one man's deadly manipulation of others for the sake of art. It has a three-act structure. Each of the acts has a title to it. And in Act One, which is called The Emergence of the Bridegroom, it's a beautiful spring morning in 1910. We're at an inn in the Austrian Alps, and the master poet Gregor Mittenhofer hopes to find inspiration for his new work in the visions of a delusional widow named Hilda Mack, who awaits the return of her husband from a disastrous mountain climb on the Hammerhorn some 40 years ago. Now, Mittenhofer's secretary Carolina and his physician, Dr. Wilhelm Reichmann, tend to their duties in the parlor. The doctor's son, Tony, soon arrives, and before long, Mittenhofer appears from his quarters with his young mistress, Elizabeth. Just as Tony takes Elizabeth's hand to make her acquaintance, Hilda interrupts the casual gesture, launching into a vision that foretells the death of two young lovers. Mittenhofer, now alone with Carolina, after ushering his retinue from the room, harshly berates her for her careless typing mistakes. She collapses from humiliation, and the poet retires to his study. And just then, a local mountain guide, Josef Maurer, which is a speaking role in the opera, arrives with urgent news. The body of a young man has been found on the Hammerhorn. Certain that it is Hilda's long-lost husband, Carolina and Dr. Reichmann insist that Elizabeth inform the widow. As she tenderly explains the news, Hilda is forced to finally accept her husband's death. Tony, who silently watches on, is touched by Elizabeth's compassion and begins to fall in love with her as Act One ends. In Act Two, we see the emergence of the bride. It's several days later, mid-afternoon. Tony and Elizabeth fall into each other's arms and, in declaring their love, resolve to tell Mittenhofer and elope. Carolina, who spies their embrace, calls on Dr. Reichmann to put an end to the relationship, but the young lovers are unyielding. Mittenhofer, who is already aware of the pair, invites Elizabeth to tea and slyly plays on her guilt to reattain her loyalty. When Tony learns that Elizabeth did not divulge their plans, he publicly confronts the poet himself. Mittenhofer gives his mistress, now frozen in self-doubt, the opportunity to choose between him and Tony. Comforted by Hilda, Elizabeth ultimately asks Tony to marry her, and he happily consents. The poet civilly invites Dr. Eichmann to give his blessing to the engagement and surprises everyone with the beginnings of a new poem, The Young Lovers. Finally, Mittenhofer asks the couple to stay one more day at the inn and do him the favor of retrieving an Edelweiss flower from the Hammerhorn to provide him with inspiration for his poem. Once everyone disperses and he is alone, Mittenhofer explodes in anger, cursing at everyone and wishing them dead. In Act 3, we have man and wife. It's the following morning, and Tony and Elizabeth set out onto the Hammerhorn, waving goodbye to Hilda, who is preparing to leave. Inside the inn, Mittenhofer works through notes for his poem, Carolina begins to type out the master's papers, and Dr. Reichmann assembles his luggage. As she and the doctor depart, Hilda gives Carolina the scarf she has knitted over the past 40 years. Now the only ones remaining, Carolina tries to console Mittenhofer that he will be better off without Elizabeth. Maurer hurriedly arrives to report that an unforeseen blizzard has descended on the Hammerhorn. He asks if anyone from the inn is out on the mountain. Fully aware of the young lovers and their inevitable fate, Mittenhofer casually says no. Carolina is appalled, but does not contradict the poet. On the Hammerhorn, Tony and Elizabeth take shelter from the storm. They dream of the life they would have shared before embracing their final farewell. Several days later, Mittenhofer appears on the stage of a Viennese theater for a public reading of his newest poem, Elegy for Young Lovers, dedicated to the memory of Tony and Elizabeth. Elegy for Young Lovers has its Philadelphia area premiere on March 14th in the Perelman Theater at the Kimmel Center for the Performing Arts. We'll be right back after this as Dan Cooperman tells us about Henze's music for Elegy. Stay tuned.
For those who find themselves in the company of poet Gregor Mittenhofer, the results may be as dramatic as the deadly snowstorm that swirls around the mountain inn, where they find themselves in Hans Werner Henze's Elegy for Young Lovers, the season's opening production in our Aurora series, Chamber Opera at the Perelman Theater. Considered to be one of the foremost composers of our time, Henze brings us this powerful opera, hailed as compelling by the British newspaper The Guardian. These performances mark the Philadelphia premiere of the work, which has not been performed in the U.S. for nearly 20 years. Henze's Elegy for Young Lovers, March 14th through the 18th for three performances only, part of the Aurora series Chamber Opera at the Perelman Theater, sponsored by the Wincote Foundation. Order your tickets today, online at operaphila.org or by calling 215-732-8400.
The Opera Company of Philadelphia is proud to partner with New York's Gotham Chamber Opera and Music Theater Group in a co-commission and co-production of Dark Sisters, a new American opera with music by Nico Muhly and a libretto by Stephen Karam. Set against the red earth landscape filled with revelations, Dark Sisters charts one woman's quest for self-discovery in a world where personal identity is forbidden. An incredible ensemble of strong female stars headline the production, starring Caitlin Lynch, Jennifer Zetlin, Eve Gigliotti, Margaret Lattimore, and Jennifer Check. Award-winning Broadway director Rebecca Teichman stages this new work with Gotham music director Neil Gorin conducting. Performances are a part of the Aurora series, chamber opera at the Perelman Theater, underwritten by the Wincote Foundation. Five performances only from Friday, June 8th through Sunday, June 17th. Order your tickets today at operaphila.org or at 215-732-8400.
Welcome back, and you're listening to In Tune with the Opera Company of Philadelphia. This is Mike Bolton. Hans Werner Henze is one of the most prolific and popular German composers of the past 50 years. Dan Cooperman speaks about Henze's musical language for this 1961 work.
For those of you who attended last season's production of Phaedra, or have heard any of Henze's compositions on the radio, you well know that his music is a rich and eclectic collage of many musical languages and styles. In fact, Henze himself professes that with each new work, he reinvents his entire compositional approach. Elegy for Young Lovers is no exception. From its lyrical solos to its frenetic ensembles, from its rhyming verses to its exclamatory speech, Elegy for Young Lovers brings together a diverse palette of vocal ensembles, musical styles, and instrumental scoring that fill out the world of Auden and Colman's masterful libretto. On your first listen, you'll definitely be wowed by the full range of vocal techniques that emerge from Henze's score. In the opening scene alone, the hysterical widow, Hilda Mack, starts in an edgy whisper, builds to an angular recitative, launches into a melodious arioso style, and gradually returns to pure spoken word. At later moments, Henze calls for screaming, whistling, and at the opera's close, a full ensemble of humming. Scenes develop from solos, to duets, to trios, to even full ensemble cast scenes. With each type of musical expression, Henze brings a sense of realism to his characters. Hilda Mack, for example, is lost in the memories of her past. Her husband ventured onto the mountain where he met his death, but she continues to wait for his return 40 years later. The alternation between recitative and arioso portrays her wavering sense of reality and her fluctuation between loving memory and internal hysteria. The flat spoken words with which she ends the opera's introduction are intentionally offset as a prophecy for all that is to follow. Again today begins again. When Henze started working on Elegy for Young Lovers in 1959, he articulated a desire to impart his score with more translucency and a greater sense of contrast than he had done in other works. You'll notice that the dramatic mixture of vocal techniques is one means to this end, but it's actually Henze's take on instrumentation that really makes this opera unique. Henze decided to link each character on stage to a specific instrument in the orchestra. In previous operas, Henze had linked characters to particular musical styles, but in the interest of reaching popular audiences with Elegy for Young Lovers, he counts on the prominence of individual instruments to make his characterizations more transparent. Thus, each of the six major characters is associated with a particular instrument or set of instruments that corresponds with their vocal range. Hilda Mack, the coloratura soprano, is represented by the flute. The young lover, Elizabeth, a soprano, is portrayed by the violin. The poet's secretary, Carolina, a contralto, has the English horn. The other young lover, Tony, a lyric tenor, is the viola. Tony's father, Dr. Reichmann, a bass, is played by the bassoon and sometimes saxophone. And the anti-hero poet, Gregor Mittenhofer, a baritone, takes on the brass, trumpet, horn, and trombone. Not only do these instruments correspond to vocal parts, but they also define relationships between characters. For example, the two lovers, Tony the viola and Elizabeth the violin, are the only strings. Tony, again the viola, and his disapproving father, the bassoon, come from the same tone family, but have an irreconcilable relationship as string and woodwind. And Mittenhofer, the brass, has the ability to trump anyone in grandeur and power. In addition to giving you something specific to listen for in the musical score, this approach to composing gives Henze the opportunity to personify his characters even when they aren't speaking. In his writings, he explains, "The idea of attaching obbligato instruments to the characters and carrying it through as a dramatic principle, by hook or by crook, leads to combinations of sounds that are full of frictions and apparent discontinuities which can be understood only in the context of the dramatic relationships and situations. As listeners, we must hear the music as the inner thoughts of the figures on stage. Take the beginning of the second act. Tony has just fallen for Elizabeth when the curtain closes on Act 1. And now the two lovers confess their love to each other for the first time. In the short interlude, the viola, Tony, takes the lead before any words are spoken. The violin, Elizabeth, immediately echoes the same descending motive. As the two singers finally address each other, the viola and violin continue to weave around each other, uniting when the lovers finally embrace. In the case of the poet Mittenhofer, we can actually judge his emotions by whichever brass instrument is at that moment playing. Henze prescribed the French horn as his gentle, contemplative side, the trumpet as the proclaimer and ranter and hysteric, and the trombone as the hallowed man of wisdom and wild boar. Mittenhofer's scenes often progress from one instrument to the next, showing his internal transformations. With an orchestra of only 20-some players, it's important to recognize, for example, that the flute will not always indicate Hilda Mack, and the bassoon will not always speak for Dr. Reichman. But when these characters are part of the central drama, listen carefully for what the obbligato instruments add. The remainder of the ensemble, and especially the percussion, will serve to create the general atmosphere. Beyond the character instruments, two other instruments play important roles throughout the opera. The first are the bells. The passage of time is a central motif in Elegy for Young Lovers, and Henze is sure to remind you throughout each act of the tolling grandfather clock. The second is the flexitone. The flexitone is a percussion instrument consisting of a small sheet of flexible metal suspended in a wire frame with two mallet heads. By shaking the instrument, the mallets hit the metal and create that eerie wobbling sound you probably associate with ghosts and the paranormal in movie soundtracks. In Elegy, the flexitone can be heard once in each act, at the very moments that lead up to the young lover's demise. In the first act, when Mittenhofer is introduced. In the second act, when he asks Tony and Elizabeth to venture onto the mountain as a favor to him. And in the third act, when he tells the lie that seals the young lover's fate. Incidentally, at this moment, the bells stop and time stands still. By listening to instrumental cues, following changes in vocal technique, and fully embracing the theatrical gestures of Henze's score, you'll experience the intellectual drama of Auden and Colman's libretto come to life in an utterly profound way. Hilda Mack may emerge as the most rational, Carolina and Dr. Reichman as the most tragic, Tony and Elizabeth as the most naive, and Mittenhofer as the most insecure. It's Henze's music that makes this all possible.
That was Dan Cooperman with a listening guide to Elegy for Young Lovers. This production of Henze's work is directed by Chaz Rader-Schieber with sets by David Zinn. The Curtis Symphony Orchestra is conducted by George Manahan. To learn more about Henze and Elegy for Young Lovers, join us for A Taste of Opera, a free preview of the opera, at the Curtis Institute of Music on March 11th from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Reservations are required for A Taste of Opera and can be made by emailing your name, address, and the number in your party to outreach@operaphila.org. And don't forget about our popular free pre-curtain lectures, Opera Overtures. These talks will be given in the Comcast Circle on Tier 1 of the Kimmel Center before every performance. Performances, again, are March 14th, 16th, and 18th. For more information on all of these events and more, log on to our newly designed website at www.operaphila.org/learn. Tickets for Elegy for Young Lovers are on sale now. You will definitely want to see these performances. Who knows when this opera will be performed again in the United States or in the Philadelphia area. And they can be purchased by calling 215-893-1018. That's 215-893-1018. 1018. Or visit us online, again at our redesigned website, at www.operaphila.org. This wraps up our podcast for Henze's Elegy for Young Lovers, with very special thanks to Dan Cooperman for lending his knowledge, his talents, and his insight to this podcast. We'll be back in a few weeks with the return of my normal co-host, Marin Montalbano, for Puccini's Manolisco. Don't forget to download and listen to our other podcasts on this season's operas. If you have any questions or comments, please send them via email to outreach@operaphila.org. That's outreach@operaphila.org. Thank you again for joining us. I'm Mike Bolton, and I hope to see you at the opera.